The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Have the changes in the banking industry affected you? With the looming possibility that your local bank branch might disappear and more web, mobile, and social technologies, what will the changes mean for you and your business? Welcome to Breaking Banks with your host, Brett King. The possibility that banking is no longer a place you go, but just something that you do, has become very real. Now, here is Brett King.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. We've got a great show planned for you guys this week. Very topical, very up-to-date, and very much in the theme of really what is our power alley here at Breaking Banks, talking about disruptive banking concepts and some of the big news that's been happening in the last couple of months. And I'd like to get straight into the show this week with our first guest, because if you are watching this space, if you're watching disruptive banking space, then these guys need absolutely no introduction. They've done a phenomenal job in setting the stage for disruption, not only in the US, but indeed setting the bar globally. And that is the team at Simple. And I'm very pleased to invite our old friend Josh Riesch back to the show. Josh, welcome.
I'm really glad to be on, Brett. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, we have said it on Twitter and social media and so forth, but let me formally congratulate you guys on a phenomenal, successful announcement last month of the acquisition of Simple by BBVA. And now the dust has settled, tell us how the team at Simple's feeling about all of this.
You know, it's actually really interesting. Firstly, thank you for the congratulations. I know we've had a chance to speak beforehand, but it's always good to hear it again. It was really interesting. So we had the opportunity to announce the deal to the broader team actually quite some time ago now. And we as a management team spent some time trying to choreograph how we're going to message this and how it was going to play throughout the team. And it was great. We made the announcement at 8 o'clock in the morning. And by 9 o'clock, everyone was sort of back at their desks working. Which was fantastic. I think one of the reasons why we were so attractive to BBVA and why we're attracted to them was sort of shared vision, but really our culture. And our culture is really special to what we've been able to develop. And I think it's testament to the fact that nothing has really changed in how we operate or our plans going forward. Obviously, now with this deal, we have a significantly greater level of resources to accelerate the things that our customers love and the things that we like doing.
And was that a key driver here? Because obviously, you had a couple of choices. You could do another raise. You could continue to grow yourself and do that organically. Was it just felt like that you could bring more resources to bear if you went down this route? Was that a key part of the decision?
Yeah, there were really three key things to it. One was the way that BBVA wanted to operate Simple going forward, which is very much keeping us as an independent unit. As I said, our culture is really the secret sauce to making Simple what it is. And while we did have a lot of options in front of us, both from the venture capital community, and also we've been really getting approached since we were first public about what we're up to by a number of companies who had an interest in this space. But BBVA has made a very clear commitment to allowing us to continue to operate in a way that we can be proud of and keep on sort of maintain the core cultural elements. So that was one key part. Two was obviously the level of resources. And those resources are interesting. Capital is one thing, but the things that are probably more exciting to me from a resource perspective is BBVA's level of sort of global operational expertise. As a startup company, we had an eye on taking this international, but it would have been extraordinarily difficult to do on a standalone basis. Given that they have presence in, 40 countries internationally, they know how to spin up new countries with a sort of tried and tested playbook. That's something that we couldn't have done by ourselves. But also brings us resources in terms of additional financial products. I like to say, and I may get a little bit of pushback from our good host here, that we probably have the best checking and savings product in market today. But we know that our customers want to have access to, you know, other things like mortgages, student lending, better savings accounts, and those are the things that we can tap from the BBVA portfolio. But the third thing that made the deal sort of sealed the deal for us was just the shared vision. I got to know Francisco Gonzalez, their chairman, and their senior management team. And the fact that Francisco started his career as a software engineer speaks a lot to how he thinks about the role of technology in banking and what it means for the banking landscape going forward. And if there wasn't that alignment, nothing else would have really mattered.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. Now, you get no pushback from me, man, because I think you guys do have the best checking and savings account. I just think Moovin's got the best mobile bank account.
Thanks a lot.
We're going to throw in a bit of levity to the situation. Now, you guys have done a phenomenal job. So in terms of, product set, because you guys have kept that fairly thin, was part of it also a view to expanding the revenue opportunities and sort of having a broader product set available than what was available through Bancor, for example?
Yeah, look, Bancor has been a great partner. They really understand the partnership model. I mean, I just got off a call with their tech team like 4 minutes before we started the show, and I love working with those guys, and we continue to enjoy working with them. But when it comes to doing things internationally, when it comes to a really broad set of financial products, having a larger balance sheet is advantageous or attractive to us. We have a gold savings feature, and that provides us with some really interesting insight into what customers are using Simple for. One thing is, and this might be interesting to a lot of your banking listeners, we see about 40% of our total deposit base set aside for golds. So that's 40% of our total balance customers have pre-allocated to future purchases. And that's a really interesting sort of, if you think about that in the framework of a savings rate, the way people generally, from a banking perspective, think about moving people's money into savings is by offering a really attractive interest rate. You know, we have a competitive interest rate right now, but it's not super attractive. We're paying one basis point on our balances. But customers are moving money into golds, not because of interest rate, because of user experience. So having access to better yielding accounts would be great for us and great for our customers. But also when you look and see what our customers are saving for, we see that our largest bucket of goals by dollar value are things related to home purchases. And we'd love to be there to sort of extend that trusted relationship we have with our customers to do home financing in the future.
And is it going to change the makeup of the team at all? I know you've talked about the culture stays the same, but is there any adaptation that the team has needed to make or that you think you'll need to make in the future as BBVA gets more involved directly in Simple's business?
Probably really the only change is that we're going to be accelerating our hiring. In terms of how we're being structured, that's actually remaining the same. One of the things we spent a long time working on before we even closed or signed the deal was keeping the structure of our business the same. So as a venture-backed company, we had a board of directors, which we had independent representation on. Now that we've closed the deal, we're just in the process of spinning up a new board of directors where we're still going to have independent representation on that board. And so that structure is pretty unique for a deal of this sort. But we thought that keeping the governance model the same was critical to sort of isolating us and keeping us sort of having that independent spirit.
Cool. So tell me, how's the reaction of the customers broadly been to this? What feedback have you had from your existing customer base?
It's been overwhelmingly positive. It was funny. I actually ran into a customer accidentally this morning. I went to pick up some breakfast, and it turns out there was a customer in town who was meeting up with some of our team members at the same place where I went to pick up breakfast. So I just sat in and met a random customer. And she just got the email earlier this week announcing the deal. She doesn't follow the tech or the financial services press, but got the email. And she was like, "This is great. What does this mean for me?" And I explained what it meant. And she's like, "This is great because she's been talking and trying to get friends to get onto Simple. And being a smaller company, there was some hesitation, which is understandable, but having a sort of a massive balance sheet behind us helps to get rid of some of that hesitation."
Yeah, No, I think that's fair enough. So in terms of what's happening in the next few months, is it changed the roadmap at all, or is it, you've got this backlog of stuff that you've been working on, obviously. Is it pretty much, the day-to-day plan as it was prior to the acquisition?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And so tell me about, when this was announced internally at the team, can you talk about the reaction of the team, what sort of questions they had, and how you guys, went through the thought processes yourself?
Yeah, look, the team, we have a sort of a culture that's quite transparent. Like, we share all of our board presentations internally. We share all of our financials internally. Everyone was sort of part of the conversation around funding. We'd actually had a relationship with the BBVA folks for a number of years. As you may know, they have a ventures team out of San Francisco, and we met them because they had invested in 500 Startups, which was one of our early angels.
Yep.
And so we'd known them for a while. Their technology teams had been in our office in the past as we'd sort of explored a partnership similar to the Bancor partnership with BBVA. So the team was actually really positive because the reason why we were attracted to them as a partner is, I'm not sure how much you know about their Elnova product or their Elnova platform. They made an announcement about a year and a half ago that they had transitioned their core processing system from a batch-based sort of off-the-shelf core processing system to a real-time core. And given the fact that, our customers are, mobile all the time, we do a lot of work, as I'm sure you guys do, sort of presenting banking as if it were real-time, and that requires a lot of behind-the-scenes jiggery-pokery to get around the fact that everything's batch. So we're excited about the possibility of working with a partner who actually had a real-time core. And so they're excited, especially our back-end engineers, were excited by the technology that they had and really supportive of the deal.
So now that you've had a chance to speak to some analysts, you've got, of course, Matt Harris has been involved in your business previously. I spoke to Matt not long after your deal was announced, and he was obviously very positive about it, and others. How do you think this has changed the perception in the industry more broadly about this approach of the non-bank bank type model, or the neobank type model?
Honestly, I don't really know. You say I've spoken to analysts. I haven't really. Probably the best thing about this deal is that it sort of takes me off the day job of fundraising and brings me back to the day job of running the business. We spend a lot of time just dealing with customers and looking at the product roadmap. So I don't have as much of an eye on the industry watching as others may do from the outside.
In terms of the discussions you've had with the press, do you think people are starting to get, how significant it is, what Simple has done, the fact that you've built this brand based on great CX, but you don't have a charter, but you've still been able to build a real, definitive banking experience without that as a sort of an underpinning requirement?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I think there was a lot of skepticism when we started talking about this idea, 4.5 years ago, that people were really going to switch away from the branch to a piece of technology in their pocket. When I talk to bankers about our mobile utilization rates, they sort of don't believe it. But they clearly know that it's happening and that customers are moving in that direction. So I think a lot of the trepidation that traditional bankers had maybe 4 years ago, they're starting to see it's actually a real trend, and there's no way of stemming the tide. Yes, you can keep on investing in branch experiences, but for the everyday experience, customers just want the convenience of accessing their money in real time, using technology in a way that's much more personal, much more context aware. I think the benefits, as you know, of mobile just outweigh the nice look and feel of a branch that may have cookies or nice sofas or whatever.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. Well, you get no argument from me on that front at all.
I figure you might be on the same track with me on that one.
So tell me, in terms of, we've spoken previously about the challenges around customer acquisition and your approaches to that, which, you've obviously had very strong support from the crowd. You've had some, good good engagement through social networks and things like that. Is there, now that you've got a few more resources behind you, you know, what's going to be the new strategy for acquisition in terms of expanding the brand?
Yeah, it's a great question. The strategy really remains the same, which is to invest in product. You know, we have a great viral coefficient. We're really proud of the fact that most of our customers come through word of mouth or through existing customers. We haven't done a lot of the things that you typically see as growth hacking in the – I was doing air quotes there, by the way, around the phrase growth hacking. We don't see that sort of stuff in terms of, you know, sort of tricking people into you know, sharing links or referrals into Simple. What we much rather do is just make a great product. Because the status quo in banking is just so horrible that if you can provide an experience that's delightful, people want to talk about that with their friends. Yeah. And so that's where we're going to be investing, is in just accelerating the pace of innovation that we've really been doing over the last couple of years.
Can you tell us a bit more about your customer makeup as it stands today? We know, of course, you know, at the time of the acquisition, you talked about your 100,000 customers, you know, onboarded, and you've obviously, you know, you've still got some pent up demand through your pre-registration lists and things like that. But you know, can you tell us a bit more about the makeup of the customer base as it stands today?
Yeah, sure. It's a really broad group of people. Obviously, there's smartphone owners. That's one of the requirements that we have, is you have to have an Android device or an iOS device. So that's one thing. In terms of geographic distribution, if you look on a state-by-state basis, they follow the U.S. population distribution, with New York, California, and then Texas being our three largest states. When you look at their age ranges, I think the median age when I last looked was 27 years old. They are sort of young professionals entering, you know, maybe their first or second job, college graduates predominantly. They're a really nice customer base for people who are building up a financial life.
Right, but it's not so much a demographic basis as it appears to be more built around behavior, either behavior with money or behavior around a smartphone.
Yeah, look, you know, what we try to do is provide our customers with everything they need to spend smarter and save more. And so what we see from a sort of a psychographic perspective is they're people who want to get better control and better understanding of their financial lives. And people, I think, traditionally think of those people as being what I call the optimizers. I think there's probably 10% of the population that is a heavy user of Quicken or Mint or balancing checkbooks or whatever piece of technology they use. And then there's 90% of people who want to be in that group of 10%. But for whatever reasons, find it difficult. We're really addressing that 90% who want to get sort of situational awareness of their money. That's why real time and mobile is really important to us, because if you can push someone an alert while they're still at the store, they can internalize that information in a much more authentic way than looking at a report at the end of the month or drilling through charts at Quicken. And it's more human than the approach that a lot of the PFM tools have taken.
Cool. I'd like to just, you know, just before we go to the break, I would like to sort of shift focus a little bit.
Sure.
You know, based on the acquisition now, you know, tell me 3 years out what Simple is going to look like based on this deal.
3 years out, we're going to be a lot larger. I'd like to see us have really more complete coverage of people's wallets. So not only their checking and savings accounts, but additional financial products. And it'd be nice to see Simple popping up internationally as well.
Yeah, and which it's interesting as a strategy, you really do need global partnerships to make that happen, because every market you're going to go into, you need a bank partner. It's not, you can't have like the Facebook of banking where, you know, you can have one bank partner in the US and everyone from around the world can come and sign in, you know, to a bank account there. So
that is the nature of the industry we're in.
That's a good precursor for growth. Yeah, shame that some of the West Coast VCs don't quite understand that as yet, but.
They're learning quickly, I hope.
I hope so.
Yep.
Well, look, Josh, this is fantastic. It's a great start. What we'd like to do is I'm going to invite Patrick from Soon on, and he's going to talk about what AXA Bank has done with their digital pure play after the break. And then if you can stick around, what I'd like to do is have a discussion between the three of us in terms of where we see this sort of hashing out over the next 5 to 10 years. What's going to be the mix of the market with pure plays competing side by side with with bigger brands, and you know, what sort of customers are going to go for pure plays versus you know, the bricks and mortar. And let's have a bit more of a detailed discussion about that. Can you stick around?
Absolutely.
Great. So you're listening to Breaking Banks. We've got Josh Riche from Simple, the CEO and co-founder, along with his pal Shamir, who's been on the show previously. They've just been acquired last month by BBVA, and he's been talking about the impact of that. Very, very interesting discussion. Stick with us after the break. We'll introduce Patrick, and we'll be talking about soon the new digital pure play for AXA Bank based out in Europe. We'll be right back after this short break.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Your bank's customers expect comprehensive, convenient, and consistent service when and where they need it. A mobile app is a great start, but with so many devices and operating systems out there, it can be hard to keep up with demand. That's why today's leading banks count on the Kony Multichannel Experience Cloud. With Kony, you can design, develop, and manage multi-channel apps from one integrated platform. Build an app once, and with one click, you can deploy it securely across all digital channels, phones, tablets, desktop, and more. That means more efficient for you and a better experience for your customers. Want to get to market fast? Explore Kony's range of ready-to-run apps, including retail, commercial, and private banking. With features like person-to-person transfers, targeted campaigns, built-in integrations, and cutting-edge compliance, Kony apps provide the framework and flexibility you need to rise above the competition. Go beyond first-generation mobile banking. Visit kony.com/BK to launch your multi-channel strategy. That's kony.com/BK. We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network. You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking to Josh, the CEO and founder of Simple, about their acquisition by BBVA and their plans for expansion, which was very interesting. Great to have them back on the show. And but now we'd like to invite Patrick Bouquet. Patrick is his official title, I think, is Chief Launch Officer for Soon, based out of you're based out of France, isn't that right?
Yeah, for 30 years we are, Patrick? Based in Paris. Yes,
in Paris. Paris. Very good. And you guys launched recently. You were at Finovate launching, and you're on an invitation only basis right now. But tell us the state of play. You know, when did Soon start? When did you guys launch? And what's the status of the business right now? Because you're a subsidiary of AXA Bank, if I'm correct, right?
Subsidiary of AXA, actually, yes. And AXA Bank is AXA is an insurance company, and AXA Bank is the banking part of AXA.
Yep.
Not a big bank in France, but still about 700,000 customers.
Yep.
And so we started to work on the Soon project about a year ago, and we are live since beginning of January this year. We started to register people around June last year, so people can register themselves on the waiting list to be the first one to be able to open the account. And so we had about 10,000 people on the waiting list. And now, so we are still, in the process of sending invitation, but we have a little bit less than 1,000 customers since beginning of January.
Good start.
We are still converting people on the waiting list.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this takes a bit of time to incubate. As you've said on your on the website, the revolution has started. tell me about AXA's process of getting to this decision to decide to launch a pure play. You know, what drove that decision?
Yeah, so basically we started from a very basic statement, a basic assessment on the market, which is to say that, you know, banks are only providing transactional services with very limited, let's say, additional services or innovation. So user experience is very limited, I would say even poor. There is no emotional engagement. It's only about money and transactions. And there is a very limited level of support. If you are looking for advice, if you are looking for a coach, it's very difficult to find that on the market. So we decided to launch something completely new, which will be useful first, which will bring emotion, and which will help people to achieve their goals. And all of that based on mobile. So soon is mobile first. It's designed only for mobile, and it's available only for on mobile, starting from the account opening. And we try to change completely the way to do a bank. You know, we have this timeline. So instead of having a very boring banking statement, you can have all your memories. Actually, it's like, you know, because when you pay, it's always something you would like to remember. If you go to a restaurant with your friends, you would be very happy when you look at your bank statement to see the photo of this dinner with your friends. And so we presented not a bank statement, but the kind of timeline you would find on Facebook.
Mm. Actually, one of the things I really loved about your app is that you've put quite a bit of, it's not just the UX design, but you're quite visual in respect to that timeline and those money interactions. You have a lot of integration of images into the application as well. Tell me about the driver and the thinking behind that.
Yeah, really the driver was to increase the customer engagement. So before we had people who were connected on the website, on the mobile app, about 9 times per month. So we really wanted to increase this this level of interaction. And we wanted to make banking a little bit more fun, I would say, you know, with much more emotion, much more commitment. So it's kind of getting your data on expenses much richer. So you can add some photo, you can add some comments, you can add some smiley saying it was a good experience, bad experience. You can share your expense with your friends saying I bought this very nice, whatever, and you can share it with a friend. Really, the idea is really to get people happy to use their banking app, which is not the case today, you know, if you take traditional banking app. And we are starting to see, you know, much more connections several times a day, actually. So people seem to really like the app and the fact that they can, you know, when they have a look on what they have spent, basically it reminds, it's like memories, as I said. So they are happy to see that last week they bought this very nice shirt, they went to this restaurant, they had this nice experience. So it seems that it's really good in terms of making, bringing emotion to banking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, money is an emotional thing, but we often don't think of banking as emotional. So it's good to get that balance in there. Now, you mentioned before about sharing and the social aspects of that. So tell me, what have you done in terms of social media integration into the Soon platform?
Well, the first thing is it starts when you want to open an account. So basically, you can start with your Facebook account. And so automatically, it will collect all the data about, you know, your name, address, date of birth, and so on, and fill in automatically the first screens. This is step one. And then when you are a customer, you can very easily, you know, share, said what you have spent. You can also share about your goals, Where are you in terms of achieving these goals? And what we plan to do, this is so far, and then what we plan to do in the next releases would be to be able to have a peer-to-peer comparison.
Yeah.
And to integrate additional, you know, to request advices, advice from your peers. This kind of stuff. For the moment, you can actually share your expenses, projects, goals, and that's it.
Very good. Very good. Tell me, how quickly do you expect to ramp this up, and what support is AXA giving you in respect to expanding the brand and marketing it and acquiring customers? Are you going to, are you guys under some sort of more strict, you know, you a separate operation, you're treated like a startup, or do you see more corporate support coming for the growth?
Yeah, so for the moment, it was really a kind of internal startup. So the Soon team was a very small team, you know, compared to what AXA could do with this very large organization. So very small team of two people working very hard on this project.
Yep.
We didn't invest too much in terms of communication. So no large communication plan, TV advertising, and so on. It was really based on viral marketing. So we took some bloggers, influencers, and tried to leverage on their influence, actually, and take them to spread the word of mouth about Soon. As we are still in kind of a soft launch, you know, only on invitation, we would like to wait a little bit more to be to have sent all the invitation, to be sure that we have a good application, you know, take some feedbacks from the users, and once we are ready, we will start to make a little bit more of advertising, and at this point, the support of AXA would be very important.
Now, you've done quite a bit of work on the onboarding process, and you've got a fantastic sign-up process.
Yeah.
It's completely digital sign-up process for customers?
Yeah, yeah. Fully digital, so you do everything on your mobile, no paper at all. You sign on your mobile, you take a picture of your ID, proof of residency, and you upload this, and then you receive your debit card by mail. This is the only paper process, but everything is done on mobile, yes, including
signature. And it's a contactless Visa card, yeah?
Yes.
And do you guys have any plans to integrate payment tech like postcard emulation or something like that actually into the app in the future?
So what we have today actually is we integrated PayPal. So you can very easily link your Soon account to your PayPal account. You can send and receive money through PayPal functionalities. And the idea, and that would maybe come later on, is to have kind of you know, real day-to-day banking services, which means payment means, budget control, and preparing your short-term future. So when it comes to payment means, we would like to integrate as many as possible payment means that are used by our customers. So that's why we integrated PayPal, because we know that everybody, I mean, most of them are paying online with PayPal. So it would be very good to propose them PayPal inside the offer. So we partnered with PayPal to be sure that they could very easily, I mean, that customers could very easily use PayPal with their Soon account. So next,
yep.
You know, for the moment, we don't have any Starbucks wallet in France, but as soon as it comes to France, it would be very good to have a Starbucks wallet integrated in the app as well you know, to link very easily your Starbucks account with your Soon account, and to follow up on your expenses as well with your Starbucks wallet.
You know, that's the second time in 2 days I've talked to someone about integrating a Starbucks wallet into a mobile banking solution like this. It's interesting that they've done some, you know, they've made incredible progress, Starbucks. Certainly in the United States, you'd have to say it's the most successful mobile payment app in the US today. But it also, I think, is a really good indication, the fact that you're thinking about it, the fact that we're talking about it, that, I think it's a great measure of the readiness of the market in general, the consumers in general, to use mobile to pay. Because, you know, we're talking about, depending on where you are in the US, somewhere between a quarter and a third of Starbucks customers who pay primarily with their mobile phone. So if you ever had a question about whether or not mobile is at that tipping point or whether it's mainstream, Starbucks is a fantastic answer to that question. Tell me about what you have planned for the next year, Patrick. What are your plans? Apart from obviously, validating the platform and growing the customer base, what's your timeline look over the next year?
So what we would like to do now is to integrate more social dimension, so to be much more linked to the community, because we think that this is probably the next phase in terms of banking, being part of your real life. And in real life, you have friends, you have family, you have peers to which you would request some advice. So we'd like to develop this social dimension. We will probably start, as I said, with a peer-to-peer comparison, and then we'll see how we can integrate some group objectives, putting some money for common objectives, and probably develop some kind of peer-to-peer advice.
Peer-to-peer savings and peer-to-peer advisory. Yeah,
exactly.
Fantastic. So, what's been the general response from the market, in the press, from competitors? Have you guys got any visibility on that, or do you think it's a bit early?
Well, we had some feedbacks from since last June, because we started to communicate in June. We launched a video presenting the offer. We started to discuss with people who were interested in this offer, just to get their feedback and try to fine tune the offer. So basically, we had very good feedbacks from the market, from customers. Now, what we are seeing when they use the app is that actually they are using the app their own way. We thought at the beginning that maybe this function would be the most used, and actually it's not that obvious. It's like people are using the app their own way, and each user is using it its own way. So it's very good to see that. And regarding press, we had also very good feedback from the press, because I think this offer is quite disruptive, actually quite new on the French market. So it's probably one of the first time we have an offer designed for mobile only. New interface, new design, much simpler. So it's very disruptive. And regarding competition, I think they are for the moment looking at how it goes, just to to check if the market is happy with this offer. And maybe I'm sure they will follow up as soon as it's a success.
Yeah, are there any cultural nuances in terms of this sort of play in France that makes it particularly unique in respect to adoption that you've identified?
Not really, actually, and that's something very interesting, because I think wherever you go, whatever the country is, emerging or mature country, you still find people who are willing to better manage their money and to do it in another way. So people, trust banks less and less. So they are very happy to find another way to manage money, and this is true wherever you go. So there is nothing pure French or something we couldn't do elsewhere.
That's a very good thing. I really, I really think, Patrick, that trust is going to be a lot more about utility in the future.
Yes.
And maybe this is something we can get into with Josh when we come back after the break as well. But I really think that trust is, particularly for millennials, is going to be based very much on that tactical capability, that utility, and can I get done what I need to get done when I need it done? That's going to be a big driver. So, well done on the launch, and congratulations. You guys performed very well at Finovate as well. So,
Thank you. Great to
see your progress. And in fact, many of those who listen will be, of course, familiar with Finovate. And you should definitely check out the gear that Patrick, and his colleague wore for their Finovate demo. He was very inventive and most suitably French. So Patrick, thanks for joining us. Let's take a quick break, and then after the break, what I'd like to do is get Josh back on, and the three of us can talk about the horizon 5 to 10 years out, where the space is going to go. You can stick around?
Sure, of course, yeah. Sure, my pleasure.
Great. So you're with Breaking Banks. We're just going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Josh from Simple and Patrick from Soon. See you shortly.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio. Voice America Business Network.
Attend Payments 2014 to meet the forward-thinking leaders and disruptors who are transforming how we pay and get paid. Get a glimpse into the next wave of payments innovations and challenges through fast-paced interactive demonstrations, educational sessions, and a buzzing exhibit hall. Register now at payments.nacha.org. Payments 2014 is presented by NACHA, the Electronic Payments Association, the recognized leader in payment system education. The Payments Conference, transform imagination into strategic innovation. Register today at payments.nacha.org.
Game-changing technologies are transformational, exciting, and disruptive for a reason. They shake up the status quo. They get you thinking about new ways to scale, compete, and grow. They move you in amazing new directions. You're invited to take a coffee break with Game Changers on Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for our special series on today's top big data innovators. Learn about emerging big trends and technologies and how you can grow your business and profit. Startup Focus with Game Changers, presented by SAP on the Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. I'm your host, Brett King. We have on the show today, we have Josh Risch from Simple and Patrick Bouquet, who is the chief launch officer of a business based in Paris called Soon, a division of AXA there. Now, gents, this is normally the part of the show where we talk about the future, looking 5 to 10 years out. But to sort of get things started, based on the theme of that discussion just before the break I had with Patrick, and maybe Josh, you might want to jump in here. How important is trust going to be moving forward? My view is that we obviously trust has been challenged as a result of the financial crisis. Now it might come back a little bit, as these things do tend to cycle. But is there a ability to create a new platform of trust based on utility? Josh, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I agree that trust is important. Trust is actually the most important thing when it comes to banking. I mean, that is the fundamental economic role that a bank plays, is a trusted holder of your money and a trusted gateway to give you access to payments. I'll push back a little bit on this idea of utility. And I think the data I'll use for that is if you look at the number of people who use credit unions or smaller banks, they often fall behind when it comes to utility but score much higher on traditional trust metrics than the larger banks. And I think, you know, one of the things that we do at Simple is we very clearly put out a business model that we never want to profit from customer confusion. I think that's been a huge problem here in America, is that people trust their banks in as much as they trust FDIC insurance, but they don't trust their banks to provide them with appropriate advice or to be on their side. And that's the problem that you fundamentally need to solve if you're an incumbent with an untrusted relationship with your customers. And technology doesn't really help that problem. You can adopt mobile applications. You can adopt a lot of things. But unless you fix your underlying business model and the nature of your relationship with your customers, you're not going to get that trust back with some magical deployment of a new piece of kit.
Right. Patrick, in terms of gaining trust for a new product like Soon, how do you guys emphasize what do you do to emphasize the fact that people can trust you on a new, what is a new brand?
Yeah, actually we have two aspects of that, because the first thing is trust about, you know, you are giving your money to a new brand, so you need to be sure that the money is not going to be gone in a few days. So that's why we branded this offer Soon by AXA Bank. AXA is still a well-known brand, so in terms of free insurance, you know, it's good for people. So this is for the money part, let's say. And when it comes to advice, support, what we think actually, and all studies show that actually, is that people are trusting much more their peers than the brand. So you have like two-thirds of people trusting their peers when it comes to buy something or subscribe to an offer. And only, I think it's 1 out of 6 trust the brand. So we really integrated this social dimension. So as I said about viral marketing, so we leverage on the word of mouth, and we try to have some influencer on board. And when it will come to support, coaching, we try to integrate this social dimension within the offer in the coming release. Just to make sure that people, you know, when it comes to advice, support, they will trust not only the brand, but moreover their peers.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, in talking about where we go from here, guys, and putting the futurist hat on a little bit, you may have read a report that came out in November from Accenture, and it predicted that 35% of bank market share in North America could be given to digital pure plays, digital banking plays, by as early as 2020. Now, obviously, we're all believers that you know, the digital bank can take market share away. But in respect to this element of trust and the growth of this business, what do you think is really going to drive the digital disruption from a customer perspective? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think trust is obviously a big part of that. I think one of the things that's common to the new entrants is that we're looking at the nature of the customer relationship through a very different lens. And it's not fundamentally the technology that's changing that lens. It's just taking an approach that isn't bank-like. And when you take an approach that's more authentic and more personable and more human, trust is hopefully returned to that relationship. And then the technology itself, to your point of utility. People have a very different level of expectations from what they can get from technology versus what banks are providing today. I think those two things hand in hand make it inevitable.
But we haven't really seen an organized response to the digital pure plays yet. I mean, obviously you've got AXA here, who's made a commitment to this. There's a handful of banks around the world that have made, really made an investment in this. How long is it going to take, guys, before we see major banks really understanding that these types of new approaches to banking are a real threat?
I think it might take a long time, actually, because banks for the moment are really focusing on products. You know, they are selling account, payment means, but when you think about it, as a user, when I don't want a payment mean as a standalone product, I want something which is really helping me in my day-to-day life, and I want a payment mean or a financial service which will connect me actually to my real life. So it has to connect me to my accounts, because I don't need a payment mean if I cannot pay. It has to connect me to my friends, because I might be interested to have a common objective, to buy something with my group of friends. It has to connect me with my family, because the same story, I would like to manage my money with my family. It has to connect me with my peers, because I would need some advice. And on top of that, it's not only paying, which is important. It's really the information you would get from the payment. So, for instance, when I buy something on Amazon or whatever website, I'm always very interested to know, you know, what is the latest time I can send this product back if I'm not happy with it. So I would like my bank, you know, to provide this kind of information to me on my bank statement, and not only the line saying, okay, you have paid this amount to Amazon. So to have all this connected environment, well, for banks, it's really a deep change, a very important change in terms of mindset, because they have to become kind of service aggregator and not only a product provider.
There's also sort of more tactical day-to-day advice too. So, a question from the Twitter feed, guys. Some of you, well, you may know Dave Gibino, Josh. I don't know if you met him when you were out here on the East Coast. So Dave asked the question, and I'll sort of paraphrase it. But do customers of Simple and Soon, do they think of themselves as unbanked or debanked, that they're actually freeing themselves up from mainstream banks?
Dave, were you reading my tweets from earlier today? Sophie from Treasury was asking me this earlier on Twitter.
Oh, really?
And I think when approached with that, I think a lot of our customers think of themselves as overbanked, sort of over the crap that banking usually delivers to them. You know, back to sort of Patrick's point about the mindset at banking and things that need to change. Too many bankers say, hey, look, I've got a mobile application. I'm digitally native now, let alone the fact that it's completely unusable and is missing half the features. And they'll say, okay, well, we're missing a transfer product. We'll bolt on something in sort of a half-assed manner and say it's done. We now have transfers, or we now have bill pay. They're over that sort of second-class citizen attitude that's provided them, both as customers from a customer support perspective, as consumers of technology from a technology perspective. I don't think they necessarily think of themselves as underbanked, because they're all, for the most part, our customers are coming from the large banks in America to Simple.
Absolutely. What are your thoughts, Patrick?
Yeah, for the Soon customers, it's more or less the same, which is to say that they are quite, they are feeling themselves to be a kind of they have access to new kind of services, and they are very proud to show these to their friends, which is very good, by the way, for the buzz. They are very happy to say, okay, look, I'm doing my bank differently. I'm having some new services. It's a very cool app. They feel really different from the rest of the market, and they are quite happy to show that to their friends.
Well, you know, I just had Ron Shevlin just jumped in, and he said, if we asked our customers whether they were banked, unbanked, underbanked, or D-ha, that we would get 80% of customers would say D. But anyway, so I want to just jump into sort of the futurist thing. One of the things you guys have both done, and what we're all looking at in this space, is a different type of engagement. And in that, we focus more on, you know, how people are going to save, how people use their money, connection to the money, the way they move money around. And in that sense, we've already started to see that traditional products are disappearing. And we're more about connections with the money. So both of you have focus on goals rather than savings products. How do you think that's going to impact the business in the next few years in terms of really changing the basic products we deal with in terms of establishing a bank relationship? You know, say for example, overdraft and a CD or a term deposit. Josh,
I think it's going to disappear. It's been a long part of our premise, really, from day one. Is that that we're hoping really with Simple to drive the transition from this manual transmission interface of banking to the automatic transmission interface to make a sort of tortured analog. Rather than giving people 17 different financial products to manage, everyone wants the same thing. They want to maximize the interest on money that they have, minimize the interest on money that they're borrowing, and avoid fees. Computers can do that really well. Give people one pool of money, let them express their desires in the form of goals or other things, and let the computers automate that. But to be able to do that, you need to change the business model from being one where you capitalize on the fact that people are bad at managing 17 different products. And that's where banks make so much revenue today that we've made a very clear case that we're not going to make that revenue. That sets us up for a world whereby we have an automatic transmission interface, and that's certainly still our goal.
It's incredibly disruptive because if you think about how much dependence banks have, even with product teams internally around how the way they deploy solutions, it's going to be very disruptive. So listen, you know, we've only got a couple of minutes left. So what I'd like to do, so we don't run out of time and have to finish off quickly, Patrick, tell us about the next 6 months, just in 30 seconds or so. What's going to be the big news in the next 6 to 12 months for Soon, or what are you working on next?
So we are really working, and I will make this short to keep the time. So we are really working on social integration. So it comes to different kind of services, but also integrating Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr as channels to support customers. So we are integrating these different means, and the idea is really to become as close as possible with customers.
Fantastic. And Josh, tell us about the next 6 months for Simple.
Well, we're hiring, so if your listeners want to learn more, they can take a job with us and join our product meetings. But beyond that, it's going to be growth. Sorry to be a bit snarky. But yeah, growth and just iteration. Yeah.
Great. Well, once again, Josh, congrats on the acquisition deal. Patrick, congratulations on the launch as the Chief Launch Officer. And guys, I wish you all the best with your products and continued success. And let's keep the disruption going. Thanks for joining Breaking Banks today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Great. So you've been with Breaking Banks. I'm your host, Brett King. We'll join you again next week to talk more about the disruption in the retail financial services space and beyond. And thanks again to Simple and Soon for joining the show this week. See you again next week, guys.
You've been listening to Breaking Banks with host Brett King. Please be sure to join us again next Thursday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll explore more changes and challenges next week.